Lord, take all the honor and the worship. We give ourselves to you. Blessed be the Lord our God. Just let us bow our heads to pray. Our Father, we confess our sins. And we indeed thank you for your wonderful presence that we richly enjoy under the covering of our fathers. Thank you for your great mercies to us through them. And Father, as we go into this time of sharing the word, Lord, I humble myself afresh under your mighty hand. And I ask you to help me. Help me, Lord, to stay out of the way. So that, Lord God, you will use my tongue and lips, my heart and my mind. Lord God, Lord, you will use it as you will. That I will be a yielded vessel in your hands. So, Father, I ask for fresh mercy, fresh anointing. Lord, unction upon my heart and upon my lips. So I will speak as an oracle of God. Bringing forth words of life, words of refreshing, words of edification that will transport us, that will transfigure us, Lord, to where you want us to be, Lord, today, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because I pray the same unction upon the heart, Lord, and the minds of my brethren, so they will receive the word with in the same unction and power, with clarity, so that it will accomplish an internal, eternal work, causing our immediate needs to be met, and subsequently all our other needs to be met in the name of Jesus. Thank you for yokes that are broken. Thank you for strength, Lord, that comes to our feet and our ankle bones. A fresh zeal, Lord, that will consume us to do all of your will in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we dock under the covering of our fathers. And I ask you to help me to be concise. Help me to be precise, to depend on you and not my preparation. So that, Lord God, Lord, I will lean on you and not the arm of flesh. And as I do so, Lord, you will make me a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old as you will, causing, Lord, us to be edified and your name to be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to welcome the person next to you. Say, praise the Lord. It's good to have you in church today. Amen. And to our internet audience, we'd like to welcome you afresh again in the name of the Lord. We're trusting God for a wonderful time in his presence today in Jesus' name. It's really a combination of some thoughts that came from today's daily Rema, avoiding omissions, and the Bible reading that came today. So it's important to do these things, you know, because I would have just been sitting there, if not for the mercy of God, through my fathers. Amen. So really, what I'm about to share with you is something that just came from there, and I trust God that it will bless us in Jesus' name. It's entitled, A People Zealous of Good Works. And before we go into the word, I just want to give honor to whom honor is due. My fathers, pastor and mommy, they're not here physically, but they're here by the power of light and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much, sir and ma, and I pray that this word, I will be faithful as you want me to today and bring pleasure and blessing to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a people zealous of good works. That's what the Bible describes us as. And it's important for us to understand what really is behind what God is saying. What is zeal? The dictionary describes zeal as great energy or enthusiasm in the pursuit of an objective. So when you are pursuing an objective, when you demonstrate great energy, you know, and enthusiasm, they say you have zeal. So that zeal, you can really look at it as an eagerness to do good. It's working from your will, through your mind, with your emotions to make you do the will of God. So it's an eagerness to do good. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, give it to me in the Amplified. Let's read it together, brethren. Say, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. Now we're in the season where sons are being given. They're about to be manifest. Amen. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Next verse. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. It's talking about God raising up a kingdom of a Davidic kingdom of men with hearts like David's heart, okay? To establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. That's how the kingdom is going to be established. From the latter time, that's this time forth, even forevermore. And at the end of it, he says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will what? Perform this. This is God's whole plan. God's whole plan for mankind is detailed right here. That he's going to rule through a kingdom of sons. Establish his kingdom through his sons. And the kingdom is an eternal kingdom. And his zeal will perform. So the zeal is the force that drives the purpose of God. It drives, yes, it's the energy that drives God's purpose, brings it to pass, and then sustains it. So really, brethren, let the zeal carry you. Let the zeal carry us. Amen. Just plug into the zeal and let the zeal lift you up. Amen. That's what God is saying. So God is working his purpose out surely. It may look like nothing's happening, but the zeal is working. It's relentless. It's unstoppable. And once you put yourself and put yourself in front of it, you become unstoppable. Once you stand upon the zeal, you become unshakable. That's the will of God for us. Amen. And it is God's nature to be zealous. God doesn't do things part. No, the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? We need to have the same mind as God has. So we can walk together with him. So that we can allow that zeal to have run its full course. But the apostle said, I have finished my course. There was a force that was working out that course through him. Amen. All right, so we see that. And so it's God's nature to be zealous. Look at Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 2, verse 13 to 17. Let's read it together. I hope you are with me today. We must read it together. All right, let's read it. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Again, Jesus is coming up to Jerusalem. Amen. And found in the temple those that did what? Sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. Bible says they were sitting in the seat of the scornful. No, the Bible says that we should not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We should not stand in the way of sinners. So when it says they were sitting, it has two applications. They were sitting physically and they were sitting spiritually. So they had become covetous, all right? And they were, this was the business. This was their focus. They didn't have God's mind. Next verse. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, one man, he drove them all out of your God doesn't work with numbers. Out of where? The temple as a church. Amen. And the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Next verse. This is, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Now there is a group of Christians that are arising now in the spirit realm, and God is giving them a scourge of cords to drive out the money changers and them that are selling the anointing for money. Amen. All right, that's what he's talking about. Next, verse 17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thy house had what? Eaten me up. So that was zeal working to just show you that Jesus was not God when he was on earth. It was a man anointed by God, but we know that in his original estate he was God. Okay, so but we see him here as a man of God being eaten up by the zeal of God. So if it happened to Jesus, brethren, it can happen to you and I. That is the purpose of this message. Whatever that the way that zeal worked in and through him, he can work in and through us. He wasn't afraid of their numbers. He wasn't afraid of what they would say. He wasn't afraid of what they would do. He was so eaten up by the zeal. He was so one track, so eager to do it that nothing else mattered. We must get to that point with God. And we're going to get there in Jesus' name. By the mercy of fearless Christians. Thank you very much, sir. Amen. And look at 2 Kings chapter 10 in the Old Testament. We're looking from verse 15. We see a man that was notable for zeal. His name is Jehu. riding furiously. You know, there's God doesn't like half measure. God is a full measure God. At the heart level, is full measure. Now you can grow progressively, but at the heart, it has to be full measure. All right. And when he was departed, thence he lighted on Jehonabab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he saluted him and said unto him, is thy heart right? It's a hard thing. Is thy heart right as my heart is with thy heart? And God is asking you that question. That is your heart fully right with me the way it is supposed to? May we be able to say yes, Lord. Amen. All right. And Jehonadab answered, it is. If it be, give me thy hand. And he gave him his hand and he took him up into his chariot. Next verse. All that is symbolic. Let's just go to where we are going. And he said, come with me and see my what? Zeal for the Lord. My one track mind to make sure God's will is done. With making sure that this is the purpose and the will of God. Amen. All right. So they made him ride in his chariot. Now the zeal of God has wisdom in it, because you may say that the zeal without wisdom. The zeal of the Lord is powered by the wisdom of God. That thought just came to my heart. I'm answering somebody there. Okay. And he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. Next verse, verse 17. And when he came to Samaria, he slew all. What did Jesus do in the temple? He drove out all. So in driving out all of the devil from your soul, from your body, driving out the devil from your circumstances, you have to do it all. It's the zeal of the Lord. He slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria till he had destroyed him, according to the saying of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah. So he fulfilled. This was a zeal to establish the word of God concerning his life. Brethren, do you have a zeal to establish God's word concerning your life? We are in that season now. Now God is perfecting and purifying his church. That's what he wants to purify that church. He wants to produce a mature leadership that is in cleansing perfection with a fully submitted followership that will demonstrate God's glory to generations. Now, are you zealous to make sure that thing comes to pass? Lay aside everything else. Don't allow yourself to be distracted by anything else. And be single-minded. Be so one track to see the word of God concerning your life established. That is going to be our purpose in Jesus' name. We're going to see it established in Jesus' name. And we see that in Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 to 4. Just very quickly, let's just read it. And who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For it's like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. That's what he's doing. Next verse. All right? Next verse. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, and they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Next verse. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. God is longing for the time when things will be as in the days of old. When he had the patriarchs, the Abrahams, the Moseses, the Josephs, that didn't hold anything back. That went all the way. Amen. Amen. So this is what God is waiting for now. And we have to do it with divine zeal. God's going to help us. We're going to ensure that we band together in full submission to our fathers, so that we work with them, so that Zion Church inherits the glory. And that same zeal that carried us to inherit the glory now takes us to fulfill God's will with the glory all over the earth. Amen. Now, how are we going to do it? Amen. Matthew 11, verse 12. Give it to me in the Amplified. It's a very popular scripture in this house. Pastor, mommy, I've shared so many times. All right, let's just read it. Matthew 11, 12, Amplified. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And from the days of John the Baptist unto the present time, the kingdom of heaven, the dominion of divine love over your spirit, soul, and body totally, has endured what? Violent assaults, and violent men seize it by force. There is a force. You have to use force in the things of the Spirit. There is force, okay? But as by force, as a precious prize. Is it precious to you? The thought just came. How precious is it to you? What priority do you place on it? That's what God is saying. I'm not telling you anything new, brethren. I just want to communicate God's heart by the mercy and grace of God under covenant of our fathers to us today to be passionate to an unreasonable extent about ensuring that we obey God. That's the will of God. A share in the heavenly kingdom, this dominion, how is it sought? It's sought with what? Most ardent zeal and intense exertion. God is telling you how it's done. This is how it's going to be done. This zeal is not even enough. It has to be most ardent. It's intense exertion. It's like you know, when we're young, you know, when people want to play football, I know that there are two serious teams. On my back, that game, they came there to die. You know, there's some games like that. Champions League, semi-final, World Cup, semi-final, final. You know, people, they are playing, the whole world is watching them. You know, they forget their daddy, forget their mommy, forget their family, forget the work. Everything is on this football field today. Brethren, this one, we are being watched by a cloud of witnesses. We are in a stadium. The stadium of the whole earth. And we are watching the advancement of the purpose of God. You are supposed to be using the analogy of a football match. So we're passing to your colleagues, you know, maintaining unity, moving the ball forward, so you can enter into the goalpost and knock the devil 26-0. Yeah, so you keep knocking in goals, and everybody on the team, even the defender, will come forward to come and score. Not that we should be playing penalty. Not that they should give us penalty and play penalty to throw in. Maybe that one is done with our portion in Jesus' name. We will not play penalty to throw in Jesus' name. How can they give you penalty? Only you and the keeper. And then you take it and you play to throw in. That means that you didn't understand where the goalpost was. You didn't understand the game. Come on. Even my grandma understands the game. But that's how it is in the spirit realm. Amen. I'm just doing a picture. Sometimes we do some things that upstairs. No, upstairs. The government are wondering, Kiloro, no. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Amen. So God wants a free will offering. All right. Now, why is this important? It's important because this is the way it works. You know, look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Until you see what God is saying, that deal cannot work effectively. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee, only some people are reading, you know, people at the back are not reading with me. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out forth from the womb, I did what? Sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto thee. This is God's word concerning Jeremiah. Next verse. And then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. In short, they're saying God has made a mistake. And there are some of us that are thinking, Lord, this thing, are you sure I can make it? Are you sure? What is God saying about you? Next verse. But the Lord said unto me, God is saying unto you again, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. God is saying that his word concerning us is a sure word, a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. All right. Next verse. Let's move to verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and did what? Touch my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put words in thy mouth. God is deliberate. Now, the words we are supposed to be speaking, they have been put there by God. Isaiah 59, remember that the covenant I've made with you, with your seed and your seed, these words will not depart out of your mouth. Joshua 1:8, these words will not depart out of your mouth. Are these words in your mouth? Are they in your mouth? Because if they're not in your mouth, they're going to be allowing to be saying things that are as if God made a mistake. And he didn't make a mistake. See what God did? He touched, I put the words in their mouth. Next verse. See from the words in your mouth. From the words of your mouth. See, Revelation. I have this day set thee over nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to bring and to plant. Next verse. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? God gave him a second chance. God put the word in his mouth, then gave him the word again. Again. That this is my will concerning you. You are going to be part of a man-child company. You are going to be part of saviors out from Mount Zion. You are going to be part of a victorious, triumphant third-day church that will manifest God's glory to the nations for a witness and draw the age to close. Forget about what the doctor said. Forget about what your circumstances are saying. That this is what God is saying. Amen. Then Jeremiah, moreover, the word of God came to me, see, and said, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. I now see your authority. That's the word. No, that authority. I see your authority now backing me. I see that your authority is superimposed upon all things. And when God says yes, nobody can say no. Next verse. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. In short, you are delaying me from performing my word when you are not seeing what I was saying. You need to see eye to eye. That Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You have to be agreed in your will. You have to be agreed in your mind. You have to be agreed in your emotions. It has to be total agreement. And what Satan does is he tries to divide. He doesn't have any new method. He's divide and rule. He tries to divide. Bring a disconnect between you and God. The will may be okay, but in your mind, the thoughts may be different. Or the thoughts may be there. And then your emotions, I just don't feel like. This is what the devil does. So everything must align. Let's say together, my will, my mind, my emotions must align with those of God. And this is why watching and praying is key. This is how it's so important, okay? And this is what the devil. So look at Mark 14, verse 34 to 48. Just so you can see an example, a visual of what this principle. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Mark 14. Mark 14:34. And saith unto them, this is Lord Jesus speaking, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry here and watch. Watching and praying. Jesus did it. So he's calling disciples. He called Peter, James, and John with him. All right, next verse, quickly. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Next verse. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. This is the person that drove out the money changers. So it's not something that you do once. It's something you do consistently. You have to do it again. And we see it be taking place here. And he said, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. So, where was the problem? The problem was not in the will. The will was aligned. But what was in the mind? It was in the emotions. They were disconnecting him. So, it wasn't simple. So, the zeal could not flow. This is our Lord and our example. Okay? Verse 37. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? God is asking us today, your name is not Simon, but whatever your name is, God is asking you, he is saying, could you not watch hour on the hour? That's what he's saying. Hour on the hour. Could you not watch hour on the hour? You know, it's so soon and your sleeping means that you're not alert to what is going on. Some things are passing you by. Then you wake up again. Oh, I mean, I'm sure you've all slept before. During prayer, you wake up. We are still drawing life. Okay. Next minute, people have stood up and you're like, down on the day. What happened to you? You are sleeping. Unaware. Okay. So things were happening. All right. Could not watch me 1 hour. Next verse. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The sleeping is not a temptation, but it will bring you to a temptation. It is an omission that will bring you. So when the temptation comes, you will not be ready. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Okay. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Now let's jump to verse 41. And he cometh the third time. By this time, Lord Jesus has prayed and brought the mind and the emotions back to align with the will. And said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Sure, you want to sleep. May we not allow the Holy Spirit to say we are sleep on. God have mercy on us. So may we not allow the Holy Bible says, you know, you will not do despite unto the Spirit of grace. You don't frustrate the Holy Spirit. You know, he's the one that forbears. He's the gentle one that endures and comes to you again. Comes to you again. You know, you now want him to change eye for you. You know, when you're little children, now you change eye. I'm talking to you, you didn't hear. I'll bring my cane. And you see a totally different person. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Eh? But God is willing to afflict in faithfulness so that we can be partakers of the glory. All right, but this is what it says, sleep on now and take a rest. It's enough. The hour is come, meaning that you've lost time. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. By this time, Jesus was ready. But we see Lord Jesus Christ, God said he was tempted in every way like as we were, yet without sin. This is an example. He didn't spare him. And if he walked through it, you're going to walk through it. You're not going to confess your way through it. You're not going to say, he has done that for me. So I will just, no. You're going to walk through it so it can be conformed to the image of his son. Amen. All right. And don't walk the valley of shadow of death. You will fear no evil. Amen. And the Bible says when you walk through the valley of Baca, you make it a well. So you can turn things around. But it begins to be prepared. That's the Boy Scout word. Be prepared. Amen. So, we must make sure, in this case, we see that the answer was prayer. It was praying more. There's another form in which case, what the devil does, that he makes us take our eyes off the word. And this is important, because the two are important. You know, you need to be keeping your eyes, you know, you are making sure that you're checking. Am I wholly sold out? Do I fully believe? You know, is the power of God working in me? Then the other part is, am I seeing like Jeremiah? Am I seeing? Look at Matthew 14. Say Matthew 14. It's amazing that they're both in Matthew 14. I didn't see that. Verse 28. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. We know the story. Next verse. And he said, come. What did he say? Come. And that come had the power to bring Peter to him. True or false? It did. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Stop. He was walking on the water. And that which he thought, you know, is actually happening. Instead of Peter, we all do it. May God have mercy on us. May God have mercy on us. Eh? We, instead of us to be concerned about the person who told us to come, we do what Peter did to go to Jesus. Next verse. But when he saw the wind boisterous, the cares of this world, the deceitments of riches, the loss of other things, we get distracted. The need for power, self-importance, all these things, they distract us. He was afraid and beginning to sink, He cried saying, Lord, save me. Thank God Jesus saved him. But what are we bringing out? We're bringing out that our eyes must be on him. Our hearts must be on him. That's what we're saying. All right? So we all know the attitude of God. God is light. In him there is no darkness. God is honest. So if you want to be honest like God, brethren, it's possible. You can get there. If Jesus said, come, and he's saying, come to the measure of the stature of my fullness. He's called us to come. Into your presence you've called us, and Lord, by your grace we stand. So he's calling us. He's calling us to be punctual. He's calling us to be excellent. He's calling us to be creative. He's calling us to be merciful. He's calling us to be persevering. It's all the attributes you see in the love of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. He's calling us to be gentle. He's calling us to be all that. The question is, are your eyes on him? Is your heart stayed on him? Or is 2/3 of your heart that is on him? Is it 1/3 that is on him? That's what he's saying. How then do we do this, brethren? As we begin to close. Proverbs 4:23, Amplified. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Proverbs 4:23. Keep and guard your heart. I'm the only one reading, brethren. We're together. Keep and guard your heart with, say it again, with all vigilance and above all that you guard. For out of it flow the springs of life. Brethren, I speak to you, I speak to myself. Brethren, we must guard our heart above everything else that you are guarding. Above our children. Above leaving an inheritance for our children. Above improving our social status. You must keep and guard with all vigilance above all that you guard. For out of it flow the springs. The way that you will get there. How can you be looking at where you are going and not forget or neglect the force, the engine that's going to get you there? So you don't worry, you know, you want to go from here to Ilorin, or you want to go from here to Abuja, and you want to go by road, and you check your headlamp, you check the windscreen, you check, you know, you check the tire, you know, you check the inside of the car that there are drinks in the cooler in case you need drinks, and you didn't check the engine. You didn't check engine oil. You didn't check water. You didn't check the injector. You don't know the state of the engine. You are more concerned about the Abuja you are going and music. You know, we put the CD there. I put down, put that domwen there. I want the domwen. You put the domwen. You put all the artists. All the artists you want. You put it there. You are focusing on things that are not important. And then the important thing, the engine of the car. That's how the car will now leave you in the middle of nowhere. At midnight. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. But you get the picture, amen? We are on a spiritual journey. And the engine to take you there is the zeal of the Lord of hosts. But it's working through our heart. It works through the heart. That's why I said, keep your heart with all diligence, with all vigor, for out of it are the issues of life. That is, out of it is the power. The power is coming out of the heart. So if you, anything you are keeping, it must be after you have kept your heart. So you keep your engine, make sure the engine is okay, then you can now do other things. You buy chin chin, you know, you buy whatever snacks you want, you know, you know that. You do all things you want, you know, and then you have a good time. And say, oh, we traveled and we had a nice time. Amen. The weightier matters of the law, they work through the heart. Amen. So what are things we need to look out? They're not things we don't know, just to emphasize them again to us. Meekness and lowliness of heart. Matthew 11, verse 28, 30 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Is the wind blowing? You know, is it distracting you? Jesus said, come. come. And let's start with the most important thing and focus on this meekness, which is your receptiveness, being receptive to truth, and lowliness, you know, being able to act on the truth. That determination to act on the truth is very important. Right in here, forgiveness is key. Because a sound heart, mommy shared something, posted something on forgiveness about how science is just catching up with all the things that God has said, that you need to forgive, you know, from the heart. And so your heart can the engine can be affected if there's unforgiveness there. It will be. Malice, it will affect your heart. Strife, it will affect your heart. These are things that affect the heart. They corrupt your engine. They put water where engine oil should be. A sound heart is the what? Life of the flesh. But what? Envy the rottenness of the bone. Oh, my Jera. It means it's corrupt. It has, you know, may your bone not be corrupt in Jesus' name. Those of us that know a little bit about medicine, if your bone is corrupt, brethren, you are not going to be around for much longer. Yeah, because your bone is producing so many things that are vital for your well-being. And then it's supporting, it's the strength of your structure. It keeps you upright. So you can't walk upright if your heart is corrupt. The issues of life, the life will not flow. So where will all the attributes of God come from? You will not be punctual. You can't do it. You cannot be excellent. You cannot do it. You cannot be righteous. You cannot do it because the heart, the venue for the power to pass through, is blocked. So that's why we must forgive. Amen. And we must also then submit our wills. That prayer, the prayer, I submit my will firstly to God through His word. No, and no. Second is those in authority over me. No, third is those I'm in authority over. There is no middle ground. You have to submit. Amen. And what that does is that it gives us grace. Okay. Now, that grace is what enables us to watch and pray fervently and frequently. Once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, in every temptation. We know the scriptures, you know the Bible. Let's look at Mark 13:35. Just one of them. Just to remind ourselves quickly. Mark 13:35. Watch ye therefore, is what Jesus did. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, 2, or at cockcrowing, 3, or in the morning, 4. This is the minimum. Look at Matthew 24:42. Matthew 24:42. Quickly. Same watch. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour. That's what he said. Don't you know the hour? Your Lord doth come. So you must start from once every 6 hours. Move to every hour. Before you can move to every temptation. God will help us in Jesus' name. Then we add daily Bible reading. Amen. All right. Review daily Rema. And weekly Rema. Amen. All right. You press for the mark. What is the spirit here? The spirit, when it's, you know, Bible says we press toward the mark. Let's give that to me. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Philippians 3. Just, you know, you keep reaching out for more. Okay? Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14. I do what? Press. This zeal. This is how zeal is working. It's pressing for more toward the mark. There is a mark in your prayer life. There is a mark in your Bible reading life. There is a mark in your Bible study life. There is a mark in your confession life. And you must hit the mark. And every time God will raise the mark. All right. When you hit a certain mark, you stay there for some time. Then He raises the mark. So he presses toward the mark. So you keep pressing until you get to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what God is saying. And then, of course, travail in prayer. Romans 8:26. All right? Bible says, my little children, that's not romantic, but it says, my little children, over my travail again in birth until Christ be formed. That's Galatians 4:19. So it is by travailing prayer that Christ is formed. It's the prayer that by which Christ grows in you. He's supplying that strength. He's pouring out that power from a heart that is sound. Amen. He's pouring out that power, you know, and it's that power that enables us to now be eagerly obedient. That is zeal. Eagerly obedient. Not just obedient, but obedience with eagerness. Amen. Obedience with eagerness. That's what he's saying. And then finally, let's look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 15. NIV, give it to me in the NIV, please. Let's read this together, brethren. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to... So you see that God didn't exclude anybody. He's appeared to all men. The grace is a person. He has appeared to all men. Okay? Alright? And it teaches us to do what? Say no to what? Ungodliness and worldly passion. All those winds that are blowing. And even if you are overwhelmed, still say no. No. Don't say, you better just agree. You know you are outnumbered. You know, there's no point fighting it. No. He says, say no. There's grace. Say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. And live what? Self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. When? In this present age. Amen. Next verse. In this present age, with internet, with all Snapchat, God knows what he's talking about. Says in this present age, say no. I can't hear you, brother. You didn't say no. Say no to ungodliness. Say no to worldly pleasure. There is distraction. It's not just with your mouth, with your heart. Say no. No. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That appearing is in us. That's appearing first in us, then for us, and then with us. Okay, so first it must appear in us. Who did what? Gave himself for us. But then he gave himself for us, and you received this. Amen. How many people received it? When he gave, you received. Right, so now it's your turn to give. Amen. Yes. Right. But this is why he gave himself. And this is how you are going to give back. So you understand. He gave himself for us to redeem us from what? All. This is second all. He said all ungodliness, all worldly passion. Then he's talking about all wickedness. And to purify holiness for himself, a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. That's zeal. So we come back to the zeal. That's the zeal that's going to perform it. Is that eagerness. Amen. So what is God saying? If you are faithful in the first works of prayer, the word, fellowshipping with God, looking at his face, you will be faithful with the glory. Remember the parable of the talents? He that is faithful in little will also be faithful in much. He that is unfaithful in little will also be unfaithful in much. So this is where God is making the mark. This is where he's choosing. This is where we need to be faithful. May God grant us mercy to be faithful and to triumph by the zeal of the Lord to eagerly accomplish his purpose in this imminent time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Talk to God. It's really to inspire and encourage us to give our all. That's the word tonight, brethren. All. Say no to all and give yourself for all. All of him. And we keep our eyes on that. More of Him, less of you. More of Him, less of you. Keeps raising the bar. Keeps raising the bar as you press toward the mark. People around you say you're unreasonable. Doesn't matter. You have to do it violently. Most ardent zeal and intense exertion. In prayer, intense exertion. In confessing the word, intense exertion. In study of the word, intense exertion. Saturate your heart with the life and the word. So that it is the devil has to flee. You flush out the sin nature out of the heart. And let's pray.
Here I am waiting. Abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Hide me in your love. Hide me in your love. And bring me to my knees. And may I know Jesus more and more.
Here I am waiting.
Oh, here I am waiting. Here I am waiting. Abide in me, I pray.
Here I am longing.
Hide me in your love. Please bring me to my knees.
May I know Jesus.
May I know Jesus more and more. Come live in me.
Raise up a hand in faith. You're reaching out to the Lord with your right hand, left hand on your heart. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this evening, showing me that you have the power to bear me up on eagle's wings, to make me consistently and eagerly obedient, to establish all that you have spoken concerning us. Heavenly Father, I ask for mercy. Help me to keep my heart with all diligence, all vigilance, all determination, all concentration, so I will not be distracted, but I will set my eyes on you and the word you have spoken, and I will give my all to ensure that your word is established in me. In Jesus' name. Help me, Father. I ask for mercy to be faithful. Lord Jesus, I ask for grace to say no to ungodliness, worldly pleasures, unholiness, unrighteousness, and to be a person purified to live a godly life that will carry your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bring in spirit. Jatoan san, jepreke ko bare, rekankanga, rapapaka sore de, rapapak tume, asoba, ayumame, kako mapeka, sobapo, sheka koko mia, owamate, shekaroa, rapapie, redea, robobo, rededebea, sangadi kamaya, mopopopodi, yo, reno, rede, roba, juvrekin, rumbari, robakai, robaso, jelo, rode, rakako, kangene, robabo, meredea, roba, kao, jolebe, samasombeka, roba bange, roba bankala, roba beka, roboba, robopaka, robopa, jafrekeka, robopa, kengala, robobo, beredebe, in Jesus' name, amen.